Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Monday, November 14th. We're back after a beautiful weekend, Tori.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy the weather?
I sure did. Lovely. Super moon tonight, guys. Super moon.
Oh, is it on again?
Tonight is the big night. Yes.
Yeah.
So look up, people.
Yeah, for those of you who don't understand this, the moon is its biggest, I guess. They call it super moon when it's full moon and it's closest to the Earth.
Right, and this has been the closest since, I think, 1948.
Wow.
So super duper.
Reach out and touch the moon.
That's right, people.
Yeah, Swiss cheese.
Post your terrible pictures of it on social media.
Did you take pictures of
it? No, but everyone just posts and it looks like a white ball and a black screen and you're like, I got it. I can also go outside.
Yeah. So they're saying actually there's going to be another one mid-December.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but then it's not going to happen till 2034.
All right.
So if you can stick around that long, you'll see it again.
Exactly.
There you go. But, you know, it's really neat. You know, my question is, you know, we reached the moon, but we've done nothing with it.
There's not a lot to do. I think it's kind of a barren wasteland.
Well, maybe we can actually build something.
Yeah,
there.
No, I think it's the closest.
Yeah, right.
But it's not, you know, you got to find a way to grow and gravity and oxygen. I don't know. Mars seems like the place, as long as Elon Musk thinks we should go to Mars, I'm like, I'm good with whatever
you're
he
good.
Says.
You're on the bandwagon.
He's totally, I'm like, I'm bored. Whatever you think. If he thinks Mars, I'll go, whatever. I like that guy.
Yeah, he's actually pretty cool, huh? He's very smart.
Very smart.
Yeah. You know that those Teslas, did you know that they sell them only through their own dealers? They don't have like... So car dealers are really up in arms about that, you know?
Of course.
Yeah, but what's wrong with it? I mean, it sounds good. You probably don't negotiate the price. You just pay whatever they're asking you for.
Totally. I mean, it's like a Steve Jobs thing. I'm only going to sell on my lane, you know? Right. My way, my stores, yeah.
Yeah.
My software, yeah.
So, yeah, but those Teslas are pretty cool, actually. Did you ever drive in one or ride in one?
I've tried one. Yeah, they're beautiful, beautiful cars.
Right?
Beautiful. I mean, now they're everywhere in LA. I mean, but outside of LA, it's sort of still rare to see
them. Exactly, yeah.
But it's just a beautiful car and very efficient, gas efficient, very, like, energy efficient.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you want cool cars, you come to LA, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the cars are. And, whereas, you know, in other places you won't even see one, here you see a million of them.
Totally, I see
a
gazillion.
The same with Ferraris and Porsches and all that
stuff. Lamborghini.
Yeah, because everybody's got to stand out a little more, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean,
and everything here is the car. I mean, the road.
Right.
The road is the runway, people.
Yeah, exactly.
My shitty 2003 Matrix really hits it up. No, but LA is very different. I lived in New York, and it's much more about what you're wearing, because that's where you pass people on the street, and you're
exactly.
walking.
Exactly, and here we don't walk.
Oh, no. It's like you see a Range Rover with tinted windows. Who is that? Who is that? Who is that?
Right. That's why I view cars here like clothes, you know?
Of course.
I mean, that's all people see on you.
It's your overcoat.
Yes.
Totally.
That's all people see. They don't really see you in the car.
Totally.
Yeah. So I guess a group of bikers rescued Bruce Springsteen. He was stranded on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, they didn't.
How cool is that?
Yeah, they didn't know it was him. They were just being very kind. Cool.
Then what happened to him? I didn't get it in the story.
I didn't really see anything but the headline, but they said they had no idea these bikers helped a stranded passerby. And it was like, oh, it's the boss. So that rocks.
I know. And he promised them free tickets.
Of course he did. That's so cool. Bikers can be the nicest freaking people you've ever met.
Right?
Bikers are some good old people.
I know. They don't look as scary as they used to, you know? I mean, today everybody rides a bike, it seems.
You know?
It used to be like gangs and stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, I still don't love the sound a motorcycle makes, and I don't understand how they on the bike themselves can deal with that.
Right.
But, I still think you look cool.
Yeah. I mean, with the Harleys, it's like you buy it for that noise.
Yeah, I know. I don't get it. I don't get it. But that's like, I don't get like bungee jumping. So, hey,
that's
to each
true, right?
their own.
Exactly. Would you ride a bike if you could? I mean, would
hell
you
yeah.
get a motorcycle?
When I was in Italy for a couple of years, I rode a Vespa.
A Vespa.
But I tried
which
it.
Which is and, like scooters.
Right. And yeah. everyone, like a child can do it. Like mm-hmm. a zygote can do it. And I just like fully crashed into a wall.
Oh my God.
My first attempt. So I'm really? Like, I'm going to take the bus, autobus. Because I'm just not good with that kind of thing. But yeah, of course I would wear all black leather with a helmet and cat ears.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I saw that on like Instagram and I was like, yeah, that's what I would do. But of course I would like crash and kill a cat or something.
Yeah,
I
mean, exactly.
Terribly clumsy.
I mean, I don't know how people actually learn to ride a bike because, I mean, the thing is the first time, second times, you've got to crash, right? I mean,
a couple times.
Yeah, or fall off or something, you know? I mean, if you don't, yeah, I mean, you just get on there, you turn the gas and bam, the thing takes off.
But in Europe, they just do it like it's second nature.
Right.
Oh my God. So, I mean, in Italy, it's like, you have to avoid them walking down the street. It's a zoom, zoom. It's very young teenagers are doing it. I feel yeah. like an idiot. But.
And it's a little nerdy to ride those, too, would you say?
No, I think in America it is. And in Europe, it's very much the norm. But right. here, and it makes a little zippy noise, which is kind of nerdy. It's like zip, zip, zip. Like, no one wants that. And it kind of doesn't go fast enough. But, you know, it's still cool.
Yeah.
If you're in Venice and you're a chick with a mint green Vespa, you're cool.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. For those of you happy about marijuana being legal, I guess they're saying now that it may weaken the heart muscles. So mine must be very weak by now. My God, you know. But not funny.
Really?
Yeah, but the thing is that it causes a case of stress cardiomyopathy.
Wow, that sounds bad.
It sounds bad, right?
So I don't know. I mean, that sounds real bad.
Yeah.
Is this with... just like long term, what is it?
I guess so. Yeah, I mean,
I'll read up on this.
They're just finding a significant relation between the drug and this condition. Hmm. So, yeah, but I mean, nothing has stopped me before. So, you think this is going to stop me?
That stresses people out. They're going to go smoke more weed.
Yeah, exactly.
My heart, I got to take more weed.
Stressed out completely.
Yeah,
jeez. You know?
Yeah, well, that sucks.
I know. So, I kind of stuck around this weekend. I wanted to go to the beach, but it didn't materialize, and it was actually pretty hot, you know. So I just went down south, you know. I mean, to like Manhattan Beach and stuff. You
nice.
Know, it's pretty cool down there.
Just hang
stuff.
Out.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so it's a lot cooler there by the beach.
Beach it up.
All right, well, folks, we do have a couple guests in the studio, and we're going to bring them in now. The group is called the Show Ponies. And we have Clay and Kevin in the studio. Welcome to the show, guys.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Of course. I don't have your last names here. Do you want to give them out, or should we go by Clay and Kevin? Clay and Kevin.
Well, you can just call us Clay and Kevin.
Okay. Yeah.
My last name
we'll
is
do that.
Chaney, for anyone that's
ooh.
Wondering.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool.
You guys have a group, the Show Ponies. Cool name. How did you guys come up with the name?
It was kind of a joke. At
really?
First, but it's one of those jokes that stuck. So we'll just
are you going to let us in on the joke or no, right?
You know, some jokes are funnier when they just happen.
Yeah. I feel like all jokes are funnier.
When you try to retell it, not funny.
Not funny.
Right.
Yeah.
So, okay, but it doesn't really tell us what kind of music, although most names of bands, you don't really know what they play, right?
Yeah,
so,
these days you don't.
Kevin, what type of music do you guys play?
We're like a folk Americana band with nice. More bluegrass leanings, I guess.
Wow.
That's how I describe it.
That's pretty cool. So, I mean, it's not a genre you hear a lot about, right? So, that's very cool. I mean, is there like a big following for this genre?
In LA there's a smaller scene, I guess. Other areas of the country there's a lot more.
But it's like kind of a hipster thing too, like.
Yeah, I mean.
But I bet you fucking hate that.
I guess we tend to maybe be a little bit more old school.
Yeah.
Yeah, with fiddle.
So bluegrass comes with strings and fiddle, right?
So we're banjo, fiddle, guitar, drums, and bass.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Oh, how cool. And so now when you guys met, were you both into this kind of music? Clay, how did you put the band together, Clay?
I was one of the founding members.
Okay.
Yeah, so I feel like our genre has really been in flux since we started. It started as just a duo with me and Andy, who's not here today. And as we've recorded more and played more shows, it's expanded from kind of a cutesy indie bluegrass pop duo into more of a robust Americana with some rock and roll in there now.
Yeah. Nice. Very interesting, because I'm surprised how you acquired that taste for this music. Did you grow up with it? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
And my brother plays kind of some classic country and old time type stuff. Right. So that's where my
so it was in your blood pretty much growing up, right?
In my ear holes. Yeah. Maybe in my blood. Yeah.
Ear holes count. That's great. The fiddle has such a good sound. The fiddle and the banjo. There's something like I see weird colors with numbers and letters. I'm a synesthete, which is really weird. But when I hear the fiddle, it sounds like warm honey.
Oh, warm that's honey.
That's great. Huh.
Put it to a silence. I like it. Just totally stops the
buzz. We're trying to visualize it.
But don't you feel me? And I've always wanted to play the fiddle and the bass. I love that freaking thing.
Right.
Yeah. Anywho.
Very cool. And Kevin, where did you grow up?
I grew up near San Francisco in the Bay Area.
Oh, here in California.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you grow up with this kind of music too?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. Yeah.
How did you get into it?
I knew... So the four guys went to college together, and I knew Jason, the guitarist, and Phil, the fiddle player.
Uh-huh. And Phil, the fiddle player?
Yeah. Phil, the Filipino fiddle player.
Living, breathing alliteration.
I love it.
Whoa.
So, yeah, I knew them, and they were starting the band with Clay and Andy, and they needed a drummer. So
Wow. So you're the drummer.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Now, so you get to play... beats that you probably wouldn't like if you joined a rock band or something. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is it a faster or slower pace? What's faster? I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can play slower, but it was a little. I kind of knew had a basic idea of the sound of the music, and over the last 5 years or so, then I've learned to kind of listening to more music in our genre and kind of getting a better feel for it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. So that's cool. But did you have different musical background growing up?
Yeah, jazz and classical music. I studied classical percussion, and so that kind of was more of taking lessons and all that stuff.
Yeah, and that's unusual because usually, I mean, young kids, they get into drums, they want to play rock, right?
Exactly, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty neat. When did you pick up the drums?
I was five.
5 years old.
Yeah. Were you just always banging on things?
I think so. My mom said I kind of always had an interest in it, and
I feel bad for moms of drummers, don't you?
Oh no, totally.
I feel they should have anything they want. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like spa days, because it's really like their kid must have just started. You just must have stopped. Couldn't stop banging on things.
Yeah, and fortunately they enabled me to get a drum set, and they could deal with the noise and would go to sleep with earplugs late at night, and were very supportive of
me. There you go, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
but a lot of parents are like, oh, my son wants to learn drums, but we don't want to buy him a drum set. So
right.
What's in between? It's like, well, it kind of isn't. I mean,
you
have to play.
You got to do it.
Yeah.
Today you can get the electronic ones that you put headphones on. You can't hear a word or a bang at all. But it's not the same.
It doesn't feel the same.
It doesn't feel the same.
It's a substitute for practice.
Right.
But to play the real instrument and understand how it feels to play and how it sounds in a room.
You gotta hear it.
Yeah.
With the rest of the band and everything. Clay, what do you play in the band?
I sing and play bass.
Nice.
Oh, you play the bass?
Yeah.
That's cool. I like bass players.
Yeah, I just watched an Oasis documentary, and they talked about bass players, and they're like always like really chill, mellow, cool dudes.
Right.
I like bass players generally are like... I can hang out with them all the time and not feel stressed.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, deep down, I'm really uptight.
Totally.
But by just visually, I'm very chill.
Yeah, visually, you're great. But yeah, and maybe that's the same with bass players. Inside, they're somewhat uptight, but there's a discipline to it, but chill on the outside.
Right.
And and it's sort of a curious instrument to pick up because you can't really play it by itself. Well, let's say you can, okay, but it's not like a guitar, so you need, it's more like the rhythm along with the drums, right? Is that how bass works?
Well, for me, when I was young, I had a very high voice.
Oh, really?
As most young boys have.
Sure.
And I would sing harmony with my brother who played guitar.
Wow.
Then as my voice changed and I felt less secure about just having to sing, and I had to have something in front of myself.
Right, right.
So that's why...
The security of something in front,
Yeah, something to hide behind.
Yeah, and it's cool because bass, I mean, I know when I was young, we started a band, right? Bass players, for some reason, were hard to find, so we played without bass. Did you ever hear a band without bass? It sounds like crap. it really does. I mean, you have to have the bass there. And I'm a deep bass person anyway.
Deep bass.
I like to hear it.
Nice.
I mean, I like to feel it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you grew up with drums and everything. Did you start bands early on in your life?
Yeah, in high school I was in a few bands, like a punk band.
Can we get a name? I like these.
Oh, Zero to Hero.
Totally good. Yeah, I like it.
Like tank tops and pink ties. Yeah, like pink and white. Yeah.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
Zero and what to type Hero. Of music was that?
It was like a punk rock band.
Punk rock band. Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty challenging for a drum player, no?
Yeah, it is. And yeah. Besides that, I did like youth orchestras and more classical music.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah, and kind of both fields, trying to play both fields.
Yeah. And that's a cool thing about being a musician. You want to be able to play a lot of different genres and everything, right?
Yeah.
And I know drummers, they have so many different ways to play that it's, you know, I mean, a guitar is a guitar, you know. You play it more or less the same. But drums, you have a lot of different options and choices in what you do with the instrument.
Yeah,
you
know? and different styles and
right.
Certain patterns and rhythms that are unique to certain styles. And, yeah, kind of how can you integrate it all together? That's the fun. Yeah.
So, and Clay, you got into music early on. You said you were singing and everything. Mm-hmm. Did you start singing this type of music?
Not really. I was always around because of the area I grew up in. But... you know, as a kid, like in junior high, starting to get interested in being in bands, like the cool band was Creed.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
Yes. So sad, right? What a mark.
Why,
on
what
our...
happened?
Oh, it's a terrible band.
Oh, really?
I mean, they were great for the time, but it's very time specific.
Very specific
to the,
time.
To the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. So that's what I was into in like high school and junior high. And the time left and the music was no longer good, and my brother was like getting into Bob Dylan and stuff, and I saw what he was getting into, and
more folksy
type stuff, and as he kind of, we followed the roots of that back to more the old time and bluegrass and real folk stuff.
Yeah,
so I think that's where my real musical influence for this sprouted.
I feel bad. I don't mean to like crush Creed fans, but it was a very I did like it at the time, but I feel like it's like Nickelback, like it had its moment and then it passed, right?
Yeah, but I mean there's still some real devout fans.
Yeah, I feel really bad now.
Yeah.
Go Creed. No, I just felt like the front man was like took himself very seriously, which is great. But I just think, you know, it had its point. But for anyone who likes Creed, that's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I guess I'll listen to it. I never heard a song of theirs, actually.
Creed?
Yeah.
Oh, they were very popular.
I know they were, but I wasn't into that type of music at the time. So I wasn't listening to that. So you guys are five people in the band. Mm-hmm. Let's give everybody's name, give a shout out to everybody else. So there's Clay, there's Kevin. Who else is in the band?
Andy is our other lead singer, and she also plays banjo.
She?
Yes.
Oh, why didn't I female. Even think of Andy?
Andy with an I, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what, Andy? Good, cool. So she's the only female?
Yes.
How rad.
And she's a singer too, lead singer?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Okay. So do you guys have a sound of, is it the female voice every song, or do you sing like solos and stuff like that too?
I think what people like us for is kind of the back and forth duet stuff that we have, but not every song is like that. We have songs that are very led by me and other songs that are very led by her. Mm. I think if we listen to some stuff today, we're going to get some of that back and forth.
Yeah. And how long did you know Andy? Because you have to have chemistry to be a good duet, right?
I guess I had known Andy for about a year or so before the band started. We met through Jason, our guitarist.
Nice.
I lived with him in Houston for a summer and met Andy in Houston, and we found out that our voices sounded all right together. Then she moved to L.A. about a year later, and we hadn't really touched base that much because we were in two different parts of the country. But we decided to start a band when she moved out, and she came out totally unrelated to music. I hadn't studied music, so that wasn't really my intention of making this thing a full-on band and making a career out of it. But that's just what happened.
That's great.
Wow, that's cool. And so you moved to L.A. for music?
I actually moved out for film, as a lot of people move out for. And that's what I studied, and music kind of took over after...
Wow, how
getting
cool.
out of school,
And how long have you been here in L.A. now?
A decade.
A decade? Mm-hmm. So this is home for you now.
Yeah, and I'm married to a girl who's from here, so it's become home.
Yeah, there you go. You're a local now.
Yeah.
If you're married to a local, then you're good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, let's listen to some of your music. We have a couple of tracks we're going to listen to. So which one do we want to play first? We have Whiskey and Wine, and then we have The Time It Takes, right?
Let's listen to Whiskey and Wine first. It's okay. From a previous album. And then we can listen to The Time It Takes after that to show the evolution and what we're going to sound like today.
Yeah. So Whiskey and Wine, when was that released?
That was released in 2013.
Oh, okay. So about 3 years ago. 2013. Was that your first album?
That was our second album.
That was second. So when did you guys... I mean, did you join the band from the beginning, Kevin, or later on?
So the first album was recorded when it was still just a duo with Clay and Andy, and they went to Austin to record it, and Jason produced it. Jason, the guitarist, produced it. And so when everybody came back, they needed a drummer. Phil had played fiddle on it just as a session musician, and it was like, well, we would like fiddle when we play live, and they knew me. So that was all like the summer of 2011, we sort of... Yeah.
Joined
everything together. Yeah.
Let your powers combine. It's Captain Planet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And this is refreshing because usually I don't listen to music like this. I didn't grow up with it. But let's listen. I listened to a little bit of your sound, and it reminded me of, you know, when there's fiddle in the songs like The Devil Went Down to Georgia and things like that, right? Those are the ones I know.
The honey songs.
Yeah,
honey,
the
honey,
ones
honey.
That are like big deal. But let's listen to Whiskey and Wine by the Show Ponies, and then we can talk about the music too.
I like whiskey, you like wine, you're the kind of woman that's so refined.
I like horses, you like gin, told you never come around here again.
Up and down, hot and cold and square and round, I never knew a smile could make somebody frown.
Cats and dogs, wet and dry, you're the cactus of my eye, I bet that you can make a grown man cry.
You like boys, I like girls, get you on the dance floor, take you for a whirl.
I know what you're looking for, so turn yourself around and find the door.
Black and white, left and right, hugs and kisses at a bar fight, you and me will be day and night. North and south, east and west, I like the way you wear that dress.
You always try your worst to be your best.
Oh, 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 if I told you I could hold you, would you play nice or just start a fight? But we're so far apart, different heads and different hearts, you're always at the end before I start. Oh, I hate your guts, but you got soul.
You're like fire, I'm a little lamb and you're barbed wire.
I'm like rubber, you're like glue, what you want ain't gonna come true.
Tight and loose, Father Goose.
I'm acute and you're obtuse.
You're the hangman pulling on my noose. Early, late, small and great, good and bad and love and hate. Lock up all your doors and close your gate.
Oh, 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 if I told you I could hold you, would you play nice or just start a fight? But we're so far apart, different heads and different hearts, you're always at the end before I start. Oh, I hate your guts, but you got soul.
You like a queen,
I'd send you to the guillotine.
Call me crazy.
Okay, fine.
I wish that I could make you mine.
I'm Bloomingdale's and you're the Five and Dime.
Call me stupid.
Yes, you are.
Don't care about your daddy's car.
And I don't like Coors Light or PBR.
Oh, 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 if I told you I could hold you, would you play nice or just start a fight?
hate your guts, but you got soul.
Yeah. The Joe Ponies, Whiskey and Wine. This is cool, man. I like this.
I love that music.
You can't like not want to dance when you listen to it.
And the sound is so old school. Like Johnny Cashy, June Cashy. I mean, really.
Yeah. And the lyrics are cool, too. So you guys write all your own music, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you collaborate on that when you write songs, or just each one of you write a song?
In the past, it's mostly been Andy or myself coming to the band with kind of the bare bones of a song, and then the band develops it into what you hear at a show or on the record. I'd say that our new album that's coming out on January 20th is the most collaborative we've been with writing.
What's that one called?
It's called How It All Goes Down.
Right on.
It comes out January 20th. Which is Inauguration Day.
Yeah.
And
How It All Goes Down.
we're going to be releasing it at the Troubadour live on January
24th. Wow.
That's cool. The Troubadour is here in L.A., right?
I love the Troubadour.
Yeah. That's on Sunset, right?
No? Santa Monica.
Santa Monica. Okay, so it's not where all the other ones are.
Yeah, just a few blocks.
Okay. It's small. It's not large.
It's about 500.
Oh, so that is much bigger than I thought. But it's not like, but I like that feeling of the intimacy of that, especially with your music.
Yeah, we do too. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. So you're going to have a lot of dancing and stuff. Now, you guys tour also, right?
Mm-hmm.
How often do you do that, Kevin?
It has kind of fluctuated. I guess we've sort of been averaging every other month. I would say
two to 3 weeks every 6 to 8 weeks.
Really? Yeah, so you hit the road and wow.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the van, right? You guys have like a band van and stuff that you take?
Yeah.
Whoa.
What's her name? She has to have a name.
Her name, yes, it is she.
Of course it is. I'm not an idiot.
Vessels
what am I?
Ought to be named.
That's right.
Her name is Kifa.
Oh, wow. So many follow-up questions. I like that. Kifa. It's like show ponies. He's not going to let us in on the joke. I like it.
I'll let you know that one.
What's that one?
It's from the show Teen Mom.
Oh, I love that show, Teen Mom.
There's a
Amber
person in that show named Kiefer.
Oh.
But Teen Mom's mom calls him Kifa. But we decided that with the A at the end, it would still
super
be
specific.
A female.
Yeah,
that's a cool name.
Is it the crazy brunette mom?
I don't know. I've never seen the show. Andy was instrumental in that name.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's funny.
Andy wants to like that. That's very funny. So do you guys write mostly on love relationships? Is it a variety of things? Is there a Bob Dylan political side to it?
I don't want to say anything is extremely political. You could probably take one or two songs from our upcoming album that way.
Cool.
But we don't really have a specific bent
right
on that. If you want to take it politically, you can. If you don't want to, that's probably better not to. I think everything's very personal, and I think there's a lot of personal application outside of just a love relationship that you can take a lot of this stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
So usually a love relationship is the easiest thing.
There's
to
so much
about
there.
Yeah. So like Whiskey and Wine, it shows the differences between people, right? And how they can come together and stuff, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
It's just a fun one.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's fun, you know.
That's just so upbeat. It's very sort of cinematic in a way. Like, I can picture it as the credits of, like, a Wes Anderson. Like, it's very sort of, like, cinematic in a way. Was your film background sort of into that? Did that help?
I think possibly.
It's very, you can see it in a score, you know what I mean?
Jason and I, the guitarist in the show Ponies, we wrote a musical in college that was, like, a 30-minute short film. And there is a lot of kind of male female back and forth in that, so I'd say there could be that kind of influence.
It'd be a great credit song, you know, at the end of a movie.
There's probably less of that influence in the new album, but yeah, sure, it's there.
Yeah.
So now, does the new album have different kind of music, or you said more like evolved, right? I mean, you guys have evolved.
Well, it sounds very much like the Show Ponies, but You can't play the train beat every single song. Mm-hmm. Is that right, Kevin?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is a train beat? Like just a fast... I mean...
What we just listened
yeah,
to.
Yeah, right?
The kind of... Tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-a-tick-
are more bluegrass than we've ever been. And then some of the songs are more rock and roll and more Americana than we've ever been.
Wow.
Yeah. Brought out electric guitar.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
And piano for this
different
one.
Sounds, different mm-hmm. colors.
So you mixed it up a little bit in the new one.
Yeah.
Cool. And so now when you write like a rock song, is that like a different... I mean, you said it sounds more like rock. Is that mm-hmm. like... a different process from putting together a bluegrass song, for example, like a folk song?
I think you have more opportunities of places to go. If you're just writing a specifically bluegrass song, you're pretty locked into...
There's like a formula a bit,
yeah?
You're
pretty locked
yeah.
into a grid. Mm. You can do more stuff with rock just because there's so many genres right. within rock and roll that you can do pretty right. much whatever you want.
Right.
Who are some of your favorite, you know, musicians?
Contemporary musicians, Blitz and Trapper and Dawes.
I love Dawes. My husband had just introduced me to Dawes, and I'm like, this guy has this weirdest voice, but his lyrics are so cool and weird.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow.
Very
sure.
cool.
Kevin, do you have...
Yeah, I've been enjoying Dawes a lot recently. I've always liked jazz, so I've always... At least trying to stay.
You got an old soul.
Current. Well, at least
I think they all do, you know, yeah. because it's like today you don't see that many bands in this genre, you know. Yeah. So it's very cool. Now, so this begs the question, is there like a big audience for this? I mean, probably not as much in LA as like in the South and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we tour a lot because we can't play every single night in Los Angeles. People will get tired of it.
Right.
So yeah. You have to go on the road.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a market for everything, and especially with the internet, you can find where those markets are and either go to them or bring them to you.
It's sort of more specified on the internet. You can find your niche.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know... The Punch Brothers have made folk bluegrass type music popular. Even Mumford and Sons
yep.
a few
yep.
years ago, that kind of became a hipster thing that's kind of faded away, and they've right. decided they can't have banjo in every single song.
Right, because it was all sort of the same.
But honestly, Mumford and Sons back in 2009 or 10 or whatever, they've allowed... actual folk music to come back
yeah.
in.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, they really popularized in terms of playing on the radio, stuff yeah. that, like, I'm not great with music. I like country, but I don't know, like, you know, I don't know a lot of independent stuff. So when it gets to me, you know that it's done well. You know what I mean? So yeah. Mumford & Sons, I was like, oh, that's that sound I love, but they had popularized it.
Yeah, and I think they also helped make, you know, you see a banjo or mandolin or other kind of folk instruments maybe weren't as common before.
Totally.
And then with
yeah.
Mumford and Sons,
I mean,
it was like, oh.
They were really stadium rock
yeah.
with banjo.
Yeah.
And
but it's funny, their songs did sort of blend a bit
yeah.
with that same sound.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like they opened the door for things that are more rooted in folk and country
nice.
And bluegrass to come back, even though they really... weren't that, and now are just pretty much straight up stadium rock.
Yeah,
yeah.
they
yeah.
got sick
yeah.
of having banjo all the time.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Like
yeah.
every band I like, which is lame, but I like the, you know, when I was in eighth grade, like the Dave Matthews, and then I like Zach Brown. They all have fiddles.
Yeah.
They all have oh, yeah. that, at least a yeah. twinge of the honey taste to it.
Ah,
so
yeah.
that's my taste. I like that good old, I like the Dolly Parton. So I like them. Johnny Cash. I like that. I mean,
it's cool.
Yeah,
yeah,
it is kind of rare though, but it is kind of making a comeback, I feel like.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's always been around.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about this type of music.
It's
always
so old.
It's always been around, and it'll come out big sometimes and then go hide for a while and come back again.
Yeah. Now, do they have shows like folk music awards and things like that? I mean, or would you guys fall under just music awards or country or I don't know. I mean, would you guys be categorized?
I guess the large genre is Americana music. You can. Yeah, I mean, that's very broad. But we played for the Americana Music Festival in Nashville a few years
ago.
Ooh,
I love Nashville.
Nice. I'm trying to think of a larger like award thing. I don't know.
Yeah, we actually have. Was it an Americana Music Award or Independent Music Award?
Independent.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, there's nothing huge like the CMAs
yeah.
for
right.
just Americana music, but There's smaller stuff out
there. Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah. So let's listen to the next track. It's called The Time It Takes. And this one's from the new album, from the upcoming album, right? And that one's going to be released in January, so you guys can look forward to that.
How it all goes down.
Yeah. Yeah. So The Time It Takes, you want to tell us a little bit about this song, guys?
So there's... Phil played, our fiddle player Phil played piano on this one. It's,
sorry. No, said he's Filipino?
Yeah, he's half Filipino.
Oh, bravo!
Yeah, so there's a piano on this one, an electric guitar, so compared to what you just heard. So it's a little more towards a rock sound.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And was that like a conscious decision to make it like that? Or did you guys just sort of like, you know, say, let's try something else?
It was... conscious, but I think very natural.
Yeah.
Organic.
Very natural.
Yeah,
decision.
Like an evolution. Yeah. Okay, well, let's listen to that, The Time It Takes, the show point. It takes.
So cool.
I love the song. I love the song.
I love that song.
And I can see how you guys have evolved you know, into different directions and so forth with that. And that's
where
cool.
Was that recorded?
In San Francisco, actually.
Okay. Great sound.
Yeah, at it's Hyde Street Studios.
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's an older studio. It's actually kind of somewhat cheaper to record in San Francisco than Los Angeles.
Wow.
Whoa, the only thing cheaper in San Francisco.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so expensive. They have to incentivize the artists to come back to the city.
Oh, because they can't stay there anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's so interesting. You know, is it weird the piano player sounded to me like early Billy Joel a little bit? Like,
that is exactly what he likes.
Oh, really? Okay, good. good. Okay, good. It was a lot of. I love Billy Joel.
He's like Billy Joel and Bruce Hornsby.
Yes,
like,
yes. That is sort of early Billy. Yeah,
that's his piano zone.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
So, and that's the fiddler, actually, yeah. Right?
Oh, wow. Phil? That's Phil.
That is Phil.
Oh my God, I'm
that's
really
Phil,
into
the
Phil.
Filipino fiddler.
Phil, yeah, do a lot with those fingers.
Those fingers are very sexy, man.
Yeah, yeah, great job, great job.
Wow.
Well, that's cool. So. The name of the new album is what again?
How It All Goes Down.
How It All Goes Down. And now, how long does it take to record a typical album?
Oh, man.
The actual recording took 12, 13 days.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we did.
Really? You went like straight? Yeah. 12, 13 days straight?
We did 10 in a row in San Francisco to have it done. And then we did 2 days earlier in the year to work on some other.
What's Andy's background? Why does her voice sound like Dolly Parton, June Cash put together? Like, how does she have that voice?
I think she just has it. You know, Andy also has the gift to be able to emulate other voices.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I think a lot of that is just her voice, and a lot of it also just serves the music.
Yeah, painting with those colors. I mean, uh-huh. Such a cool sound, such an old school sound when you two could do the harmony like that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's very cool. I love this music, and I love music in general, and I like that this opens me up to
more genres and stuff.
You know, because normally I wouldn't be listening to this, but now that you guys are here, I'm like, this is really cool music.
I would put that on repeat, dance. And I would get my makeup on. That's what I would do. And I'd be like, and I'd try to be Andy, and I'd pretend to be a piano player with Phil. But I mean, it's like energizing, but very sort of, you see you hear the talent. It's not just loud. It's great. It's really good.
Right. So now you guys tour also. And so some of the places I see, okay, Troubadours, January 24th, West Hollywood. You guys can find out more on their website. It's theshowponies.com. And there's a lot of information as far as about the band and everything, the background and where they perform and so forth. Now, so when you guys go to perform, is it an extended period of time when you go on the road, or is it just a few days?
We can usually, I think we basically stay out for 3 weeks maximum. So everyone but me is married. So
I was going to say, how do the wives and like husbands feel?
I'd say there's mixed feelings.
Mixed emotions.
They love that we're getting to do what we love to do, but we also love them.
Yeah. So. 3 weeks is a lot of time, I got to be honest. My husband was gone for 9 days, and I was like, that's it. I'm never going to see you again.
Yeah.
She could barely breathe.
I was very codependent.
Yeah.
That's hard. Do you guys have kids? Are kids? No kids yet.
No kids
okay,
yet.
Smart.
No kids. Smart.
Well, yeah, that's hard when you're a dad or a mom and you are on the road like that, away. One parent has a lot of responsibility.
Your career. Yeah. Very, very tough. Okay, so did we acknowledge everybody in the band?
Mm-hmm.
There's the two of you. There's Andy. There's Phil, and who's and then there's Jason.
Jason.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we touched on all of them. Cool. Now, are they? So you guys met in college? Did you say the four of you before you met Kevin?
You know, I didn't know Kevin and Phil in college because they were in the music department. I was in the film department.
Oh,
but I was buddies with Jason. We were in choir together.
Oh, wow.
That's how we met.
So, and you were all in the same college?
Yeah.
What school did you guys go to?
Biola University.
Wow.
In La Mirada. It's like the end of LA County.
Beautiful La Mirada.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, near like
Norwalk. So you guys actually met here in LA?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's your favorite kind of place to play? Is it like a dive bar? Is it a stadium-ish type arena? What is it?
Sonically, it's, you know, like the Troubadour.
Yeah,
you
right. Know, it's just, acoustically, it's meant
it
for that.
It sounds
yeah.
good. The sound system is great. The people are great. I like playing in small places and just meeting like some weird guy.
Yeah.
Some weird old guy that was in Vietnam.
Yeah. He was in Nam.
He takes me to the side later and just tells me these crazy stories.
Really?
Yeah, that's like what I would love to do. Because I could take a shot and a beer to that kind of music at a dive bar. Like, that's the kind of feeling. It's sort of an intimate kind of cozy feeling.
Yeah. You get to know people that you wouldn't get to meet if you weren't playing in these small places and towns that you hadn't heard of.
Yeah, that's true. So, I mean, do you guys ever travel far? to perform, or is Nashville as far as you're going to go?
Vermont is as far as north. Yeah.
And you guys drove up there with your van to perform in Vermont.
Kifa.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, there you go. You see, I mean, that's determination.
And how do you guys get bookers to see it? Is it mostly Facebook? Is it I know MySpace is good for bands. Is it Twitter? Is it Instagram?
We have a booking agent. Nice. So he gets us the shows. As far as promoting the shows.
Yeah, what's the best?
There's some, depending on the venue will do some promotion. A lot of ours is online through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We have an email list.
Nice.
And then there's also PR companies that we work with.
Nice.
We're working with a company called Red Boot PR.
Cute.
For this album that's coming up, and they're the ones that got us here.
Oh, so, yeah. Red Boot. I like
cool.
it.
Very cool.
It's not as cool as Kifa, but I'll take it.
The band is The Show Ponies, and you guys can find out more about them at theshowponies.com. How can people contact you? I mean, do you have like social media and stuff also?
Yeah.
Tell people how they can find you.
You can go to our Facebook or Instagram, email info@theshowponies or hello@theshowponies.com.
Either one.
If you're online, then you can get a hold of us any way you want to.
Yeah.
Cool.
Really.
And the album, is that going to be on CD and digital?
Yes. Yes, it will be available January 20th.
Okay. Do people still buy CDs? Do they?
For this kind of music, I would.
Yeah?
Yeah, some people do.
I mean, if you can download it to your thing, though. I don't mean not paying, but I mean just like downloading from iTunes or something.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So do people still buy CDs?
Not a ton of people, but people that want to have something
physical.
They want
to have something physical,
hands,
right.
And have the lyric book in there.
Yeah.
Right.
And something to prove that they were at the show.
My husband's into vinyl, and there's that something, again, like I'm a reader, so I like the books like Sam, but there's something about he uses Swiffer Duster each time. I mean,
really?
Very particular, because it, I mean, it takes it very seriously.
Right.
And he, it's a something physical to have in the hand.
Yeah.
And the art and the lyrics to see and hold.
And he can tell the difference in the music and the quality of the music.
He plays by ear, this guy. Right. And I'm like, put more Zac Brown Band. And he's like, I'm going to go kill myself. But I mean, I like really dumb, poppy, wonderful music, and he likes the more B-side stuff. Like, I wouldn't have known about Dawes, for instance.
Mm.
So it's nice to be educated.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and especially in music, you know, it's such an important thing. I mean, for me, it's just like music's got to be everywhere. Wherever I am, there's music all the time, you know.
It's interesting. My mom doesn't like to hear music in the background, but she's often in a lot of like chronic pain. And I'm always like, I don't understand a person who can't want music at all times. And she just, to her, it's like too much noise.
Right?
Yeah,
I know.
So it's so interesting.
Like
you're like, what the hell?
Noise.
Yeah, I mean, she likes certain kinds, but it's like you know, my generation's in the background at all times. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
We will have this on vinyl. And vinyl.
I was going to ask you that.
Yeah,
okay,
vinyl
cool.
For me is, you know, there is a sound difference, but it's more just a way to be intentional about the music, and you have to respect the record when you take it out. You can't scratch it.
Oh my God. If there's a fire, I honestly think my husband would save his vinyl collection over. He takes it, and as I guess a real vinyl person should, it is checks for scratches, checks for marks.
Yeah. For me, it's a way to respect the music and sit down and actually listen and not just have it in the background.
You see, for me, it's like vinyl is cool. It's a nostalgic thing, but I grew up with it. And I appreciated when CDs came out because the sound became a lot clearer to me. So, you know, you can hear a lot more detail, things like that, and the production. Well, also the production values have changed over the years, too. So, you know, with the old LPs, you know, the bass is not really bassy and, you know, things like that. So, but nevertheless, I like the physical thing. There's a lot to be said for that, you know.
Getting into a CD is like the hardest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Opening a fucking
CD.
Oh,
yeah, right.
And why do they wrap it in plastic?
Yeah.
Very hard to get into.
Yeah, that's true, right?
Yeah. I have a thing with them, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. The Show Ponies, guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Such good music. Yeah. Such good
Great music. You guys are fun. So we have Clay and Kevin, of course, and then we have Jason, Andy, and Phil.
and all their spouses. Let's give a shout out to their spouses.
The spouses who are very patient with them and understanding and everything. And so, but you guys are here to say if you love music and you really pursue your career, you can make a living off of it, right?
Yeah.
And do what you love and actually pay the bills that way. That's amazing.
Did you ever think you'd get there?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't think it was possible.
True. Yeah.
So.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us. You're a lot of fun. Everybody go out, get the music, go to the website, see everything about it. If you like music, I think you like this one. I personally like the newer stuff better, you know, because maybe it's more rocky or something. Mm. It's easier for me to connect. But I love the fiddle. I mean, it's great. Sweet Honey, like you said.
Totally.
Or was it Sweet Honey or what was
just
it?
Just Warm Honey. It's getting really sexual. I shouldn't have gone there.
Warm Honey, okay.
But it is. It's like, and that's on vinyl. You get more texture, too, I think, with like the sound of it. But you do get it. There's a difference in the sound. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, absolutely. Warm Honey, people.
Yeah. There you go. All right. Well, everybody, thank you all so much for joining us. Tori, thank you as
anytime.
Always. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.